There are a couple of families in the church expecting babies early in 2020. Well, if they or any other families are interested, I've got the inside track on how to outdo everyone else with your birth announcements. I hope you're listening, Liz. Forget the phone calls. Forget a photograph. Forget Facebook. Forget even an announcement in the County Times. Here is how to win the announcement competition. Have an angel announce the birth. Have an angel telling everyone who needs to know what's just happened. And then follow that up with a whole choir of angels providing celebratory backing vocals. That's how to win. It's quite simple. And although sadly the angels aren't taking any bookings right now, that's how the arrival of Mary's baby was announced on the night he was born. So just listen again to Luke 2, 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in the manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." You know, I know technology has moved on incredibly even in the last few years, but this still has to be the most amazing birth announcement ever. And it always will be. There's no contest. Whatever happens in technology in the years to come, this is still the most amazing birth announcement. And it was appropriate that this was the most amazing ever birth announcement because it was, first point, I've got three headings. First heading, the most amazing baby ever. The angel told those shepherds who it was who had been growing in Mary's womb and who was now wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This is how we put it. Verse 11 says this, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." He described the baby's job description. He's going to be a savior. He announced the baby's job title, Messiah. That was the title that was going to be given to God's king who'd been promised for centuries, promises recorded for us in the Old Testament. And then he moved on to the baby's identity. The Lord. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And that word, Lord, is making a staggering claim because it is the word that was used at the time by Greek-speaking Jews to translate the Hebrew word Yahweh, which was the personal name of God, the name by which God had introduced himself to his people for centuries. You see, God isn't God's name any more than pastor is my name. My name's Tim, that's what friends call me. God's name is Yahweh. That's what he told his friends, his people, to call him. So in other words, the angel is saying, here is the good news that will cause great joy for all people. A Savior, the ultimate ruler of the world, has been born, and he is God Almighty. You know, every so often at Christmas, we hear about someone who's rich and powerful, who's gone and, I know, something like serve Christmas lunch at a shelter for the homeless, or say a top athlete who on Christmas Eve has given up time to go and visit the local children's hospital. And we think, yeah, that's really kind, that's a really humble thing to do. And we're right, it is. But now see what this angel is announcing. The God who made you, the God who gave you your DNA, the God who has filled the world with the beautiful gifts that you're going to enjoy today, the God who has sustained your life so that you're here to enjoy another Christmas, that God in the person of Jesus has been born as a baby boy. On that first Christmas night, God took on flesh. You know, that is the heart of the Christmas story. That is the heart of the Christian faith. That the voice that made the universe could be heard crying in the manger. The hands that flung every star into space, into its place, grabbed hold of Mary's fingers. Her son was fully human and fully God. In this man, in this baby, divinity met humanity. Another angel sent a few months earlier to announce the pregnancy to Mary, put it like this in Luke 1, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The Son of God. Now, have you grasped just how amazing this is? This is unparalleled. This is unique. This is mysterious. And Luke is saying this is history. Now, I know some people struggle at this point. The idea of a virgin birth, the idea of God becoming a man. Well, if your starting point is that there is no God, then becoming a man is irrelevant. But if there is a God, or even if you think, well, there might be a God, surely the God who created the entire universe could make a virgin pregnant and enter his own universe. And this news demands our attention. It can't be just something that's hidden away in the small print of the birth announcements of the Judean Times, Bethlehem edition. God being born as a man is the biggest birth announcement ever. No wonder an angel was sent to announce it. I'm guessing most of the people here this morning would call yourselves Christians. Our problem is overfamiliarity. Yeah, we know the story. This is amazing. This is incredible. God being born as a man. But what's the point of it? Well, we need to look more closely at this birth announcement. So firstly, we had the most amazing baby ever. Then secondly, we have the most surprising recipients ever. That is, recipients of the birth announcement. You know, who do you announce a baby's birth to? Well, if you want to do these things right, you check online. That's what you do with everything in life. And I Googled Debrett's. Debrett's have been the way to know how to do etiquette since 1769. So 250 years, this is where you turn if you want to get it right. So clearly I was looking in the right place, and it isn't rocket science. The first 2 points on their webpage I found, first phone calls. Tell family and close friends first so they don't accidentally hear about it from a third party. A phone call will be most reassuring, especially for new grandparents. That's the first thing. Second thing you have to do, sensitive sharing. Once you've shared the news with your immediate circle, you can update wider friendship groups via message chats and on social media. When doing so, consider those who may be trying to conceive or have been unable to have a child. You may wish to let them know individually first rather than letting them find out via a celebratory post. That's very sensitive, isn't it? Very wise, very appropriate advice. But I really don't think the angel could have consulted Debrett's or whatever they had 2,000 years ago, because the angel gets it wrong, really. I mean, look, who did the angel announce the birth to? Well, listen again. Verses 8 and 9, we read, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. Shepherds. They definitely weren't family and close friends. And I'm pretty sure they weren't even part of Mary's wider friendship group. I don't think she would have been on Facebook with them. In fact, I've read the page on the Debrett's website carefully because there's a bit more stuff on there that I didn't share with you. And there is definitely nothing about telling local shepherds. So why is the birth announced to them? Well, actually, the angel is from the Lord, from God. After all, and Debrett's agree with us here, it is the Father who traditionally makes the announcement. So Why does the father arrange for the birth to be announced to the shepherds? We might expect God to have sent the announcement to the rich and powerful, like that guy Caesar Augustus, or even Quirinius, who was the governor of Syria. Maybe they're the sort of people you should tell. But no, and this is typical of God. Throughout Luke's gospel, we find again and again that he goes for the least and the last and the left out. And with apologies to anybody here from a farming background, I know there are some of you, back in Judea 2,000 years ago, shepherds were socially the bottom of the pile. They were the least and the last and the left out. But the angel going to them is actually wonderful news, not just for them, but for all of us. Because listen again to what the angel said. Luke 2, verses 10 to 11. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you, shepherds, good news that will be great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." This birth announcement, no, I haven't got the address wrong. It really is for you, shepherds. And it really is actually good news for all the people. So that includes people sitting in the building of Newtown Evangelical Church on Christmas Day 2019. And the fact that this was good news for all, not just the rich and the powerful, is symbolically shown in the fact that the message gets sent to the least and the last and the left out, the shepherds. It's good news for us. But why is it good news for all of us? Because thirdly, the most wonderful gift ever. The most wonderful gifts ever. The shepherds are terrified to see the angels. The angel delivers his message to the shepherd, which starts with, "Don't be afraid." But no sooner have the shepherds picked themselves up off the ground than the reinforcements appear. And the angel choir declares what this baby will achieve. Verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." On earth peace. Caesar Augustus had established what was known as the Pax Romana. He was pretty proud of it. An empire at peace and guaranteeing security to all the residents, unless you happen to be a slave or someone who he didn't get on with. Now, that was an amazing achievement, something that plenty of places in the world today would welcome. But that outward peace, even if you have it, and we roughly speaking have it in Britain, can still leave an aching void in people's hearts. We long for an inward peace, for peace of heart, for peace that circumstances can't change. We want that even more than outward peace. And wonderfully, it is that inward peace that the angels were singing about. And they were announcing this birth with such joy and celebration because it was that real inward lasting peace that this baby had been born to bring. That is why his birth was such good news that would cause great joy for all sorts of people around the world and down throughout history. That is why he announced it to the shepherds. That's why he's announced it to you. And that is why it is good news for you and I to celebrate, just as the shepherds did. See, we need to understand the backstory. We need to understand what had happened before the angel came to the shepherds. We need to know why deep down we have a lack of peace that is all pervasive across our world. Why that is so basic to human experience. And the backstory is that God made us. We're his creatures. He gave us an amazing world to live in, packed with gifts for us to enjoy. But we declared independence and rebelled against him. We wanted the gifts, but we didn't want the giver. And it is that estrangement from God that is at the source of our deep-seated lack of peace. If we're going to know peace in our hearts, then we need peace with God. There is no alternative. And here is the amazing news of Christmas. Listen again to the angel's song. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And what is that bit at the end is saying, on whom his favor rests? Is saying that peace within is peace with God and also peace from God. It's something that he, in his favor, in his generosity, in his grace, in his goodness, says, I'm giving it you as a Christmas present. And when you're given a Christmas present, you receive it not by getting out your wallet and saying, how much do I owe you? You receive it as a gift. Peace within is peace with God and is peace from God. And the way he gives us this peace is through this baby whose birth was announced on Christmas Day. Because verse 11 again, remember, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, a Savior. He's going to rescue you so that you can be forgiven. He truly is the most wonderful gift ever because he is the only gift that can give you peace in your heart. So what are you going to do with that gift? Will you receive it? The shepherds believed what they heard. The shepherds went to find Jesus. We read the next couple of verses, verses 15 and 16. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said, oh, come on, this is too good to be true. No, forget it. Let's just get on with it. No, they didn't do that. The shepherds said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. And when they got there, it was all a pack. No. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. It was just as they had been told. Will you believe the news you've been announced to you and go off and find Jesus? You won't find him lying in a manger today. He grew up. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that you could be forgiven. He rose again. He is reigning in heaven until he returns. So to find him, you must rely on him to be your Savior and submit to him as your ruler. You must come to Jesus and say, I need that peace, and you're the only one who can give it. I'm asking you to forgive me and be my Lord, my ruler. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that the news on Christmas Day was the most amazing news ever announced, the most amazing birth ever announced, because that's the only time that God has become man. And Father, we thank you that amazingly that news wasn't for the rich and powerful. It was for the least and the last and the left out. It was for people like us. It was people like the shepherds. And Father, thank you that it was the best news ever. The news of the most wonderful gift ever, the gift of peace. Lord, I pray this Christmas Day, Lord, that we enjoy all your great gifts that you give to us. But Father, I pray that no one in this room will miss out on that greatest gift of all this Christmas time. That no one will go without that peace because they are not willing to turn to Christ and say, I need it. Please forgive me. Please be in charge of my life. So, Father, I pray that you do that gracious work in our hearts this Christmas time. In Jesus' name, amen.